For those of you who don't know me, my name is Nick Gordon. I've been coming here for a little over 10 years now. 8 years ago, I was the associate pastor here. I helped start the youth program. Most of what I learned in preaching, I learned from Ryan, so I'll tell you ahead of time, if it isn't the best, you know who to blame. So, let us open with prayer this morning, though. Dear God, we thank you so much for bringing us here today. And God, help us to understand that there is absolutely nothing that we can do to separate us from your love. We can fall, we can make mistakes, God, and we can go down the wrong path, but at the end of the day, you are still the light at the end of the tunnel waiting for us. And guide us today, God, as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So I was wondering what to talk about this week. I remembered last week how Ryan talked about all the things going on in his life. Mike gave a sermon about how we get out of the ruts and start to deal with the denial that we face in our life on a regular basis. So I sat and I thought about the ruts that I have been in my life. When I was a little kid and I made mistakes because I just didn't know any better. We just don't know what we're doing sometimes when we're young and we make terrible mistakes. To my teenage years, where I probably knew exactly what I was doing, but I was going to do it anyhow because God knows I was right. There was actually one point in time in my youth where I thought I was wrong, but it turned out I was mistaken. But honestly, I think we can all sit here and remember that time when we argued with our parents, and about halfway in, we knew we were wrong, but we were way too proud to admit it. And now, being a married man, I can tell you, my wife sitting here in front, she'll testify for me that I am still always right. Obviously. But I struggle just as much sometimes to admit it when I am wrong. I find myself struggling with sin, self-esteem, self-worth, time management, giving up control to God on everything in my life. I struggle every day just to be better. And Mike said last week, we are all in denial over something. It may just be a little thing that we just need to complete that last step to get there, and it may be a life-altering step that's going to completely change our lives. But we all have something. And we handle it the same way, don't we? We pray, God, today is hard. Please help me. And I promise that when things are great and I am awesome and I do great things, I will still follow you. I mean, as long as you give me what I deserve, as long as it's all good things, right? And then things get better. We stop following. We stop reading our Bible. And another stumble comes our way. God, why didn't you stop this? God, why are you doing this to me? And we rationalize that God's to blame. Or maybe it's our parents or our spouse, but we blame it on somebody else and we don't change. And we get into a rut of rationalize and repeat. And that is why today I want to ask you, are you willing to go out on a limb for Jesus? We're going to be reading out of the book of Luke, chapter 19, then bounce back to chapter 18. If you brought your Bible, please open it up. You can go to the Central Church app, or it'll obviously be up on the screen for us as well. We're going to be reading about Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. So Jesus is on his final journey up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Jericho is the last stopover town on the way, and this is where he encounters Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector. Now, tax collectors in this time were absolutely brutal thugs. They were some of the worst sinners and worst people you could ever meet. And the chief tax collector was the worst of them all. They got their money strictly from stealing it from others in the name of the Roman Empire and used a Roman army as the backbone to take it. So verse 3, he wanted to see Jesus, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now obviously from this we can get that he was short, but many of you with the church background would know that Zacchaeus was actually a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. You all know, yeah, we can finish it off. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him. And since Jesus was coming that way. Now there's a saying I came across this week that really got my attention. And that is, long before Zacchaeus needed it, God planted that tree. Now isn't it amazing that it always seems that God always seems to have exactly what we need right when we need it and where we need it? Verse 5, when Zacchaeus reached the spot, or when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." But how did Jesus know his name? It doesn't say that Jesus asked somebody else what his name was. He didn't ask Zacchaeus what his name was. He looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down." And that's why reading the Bible, sometimes it's the small things we have to pay attention to. God knows your name. God knows every single one of our names. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, John 10:14 tells us. God knows you on a personal level, and he wants you to get to know him in the same way. But this is the moment. This is when Zacchaeus stepped out on a limb for Jesus. And Jesus saw the effort and the determination that Zacchaeus had put in. Zacchaeus didn't push his way to the front of the crowd in Jericho because he knew people didn't like him. And in a mob setting would not be the best place for the chief tax collector to insert himself. But Zacchaeus wanted so badly just to see Jesus. And it has to make you wonder, did Zacchaeus actually know why he wanted to see him? He just knew there was something missing in his life. He knew he was being called to take a closer look and to look harder. Verse 6, so he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Where could we be in our lives today? What if when God said, "Come here," we came without hesitation or complaining? What if our children did that? Could you imagine? "Go clean up your room, please." "Okay, Dad, no problem." I know I would be surprised. What if we welcomed Jesus gladly and said, "Lord, here I am to serve. Use me." And we allowed things to happen in our life that were scheduled by God. What a difference each of us could make. Now, verse 7, as the people saw this, they began to mutter and post on Facebook and Snapchat and X. This was the original WWJD moment. Hashtag friend of sinners. Hashtag wonder who's next. 2,000 years later, and what we can learn here is nothing has changed. People gossip. We label others. And rather than looking at ourselves and being thankful that people are being saved, we label. Thank God Jesus doesn't judge us the way we judge others. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Now, obviously, the New Testament was still being written at this time, so we can't judge him too fiercely here. But Jesus was the guest of a sinner every single day he was on this earth. He was a friend of a sinner. He dined with the sinners. He made disciples out of sinners. And he was persecuted with the sinners. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 tells us, "The righteous is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile, for all have sinned and all fall short to the glory of God." Every single one of us at one point in time in our life has fallen short. We have sinned against God. We have sinned against our neighbor. We have made mistakes. So the question is, what would Jesus do? Jesus would spend time with the people who are lost. People who are looking for answers. The people who are willing to let him in and offer guidance and love to them. Not condemnation and labels. And this is what, as Christians, we are also called to do. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here I am now. I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay it back four times the amount." This is the moment Zacchaeus realized that all the riches in the world would never fill him. That the only thing that can fill his soul is Jesus Christ. Now, we sit here every day, myself included, and think, man, if I had a little more money, if I had just a little more time, God, if you could just give me that little extra, you name it, God, I would do so much more. I would serve more. I could give more. God, I could be more. But since I don't have those things, I don't. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Do you see how fast it works? Instantly, salvation has come to this house. As soon as Zacchaeus prayed to be forgiven, he was. Salvation was his. It doesn't say his life was easier. It doesn't say that all the people loved him. But at that exact moment, he was forgiven by God. And you can be forgiven by God the same way here today. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." So when we first read through this, we obviously think to ourselves, wait a minute, I have to give half of everything I own to become a follower? You know, maybe next week I'll get my life straightened out, it'll be a little better, but this week I don't know if I can afford to give up half. But that's not the point they're trying to make here. What they're trying to say is Zacchaeus was worshiping money. Matthew 6:21 tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is when Zacchaeus came out of denial. He knew that he had been worshiping money, he'd been worshiping power, and he'd been worshiping people. But the only way he could change, the only way he could be set free, was to give it to God and to follow Jesus in that moment. So let me ask you today, what is your treasure? What is it? Is it money? Is it time? Is it an addiction? Is it an ability to take orders from somebody else? What's your treasure? And it could be something, it could be a good thing. Where's your heart? What do you think about all day? What are your thoughts? And what do you give all your time to? Work, school? Again, it could be good things. Family, friends. What's that thing that prevents you from spending 15 minutes at least a day with God? And then verse 10 comes and finalizes the whole thing. It's probably the best verse I've read in the Bible. "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Did you hear that? "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." This is the best news you can hear in your life. If you are lost, Jesus is seeking you right here today. You right there, the one in the back saying, holding up that sin, saying, "God, I'm not ready to let you in." The one saying, "I'm going to get my life straight, God, and then I'll come to you when I'm ready." Or the one holding on to that secret sin, just not willing to let it go, even though it's taken everything from you. Or how about the one who's telling yourself, "Man, I have my life together." But we can't lie to God. We only lie to ourselves. And if you feel pressure right now, that is Jesus Christ knocking at your door, waiting to be let in. And I want to tell you, faith equals risk. You must be willing to take a risk to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus had a desire to know Jesus as a friend and as a teacher and as his personal Savior. And because of that desire, he took a risk. He climbed a tree and he went out on a limb just to see Jesus as he passed. Zacchaeus didn't climb the tree to be saved. He didn't climb the tree because he wanted Jesus to come over for lunch. But Zacchaeus was willing to take the first step. And Jesus met him right where he was. Jesus knew exactly what Zacchaeus needed before Zacchaeus did. A chance encounter with Jesus, a meeting that would set him free. But we all know in God's realm there is no chance encounter. It's divine intervention. The tree had been waiting there for Zacchaeus. Jesus had been waiting for Zacchaeus. If you are willing to take the first step, God's waiting for you. God's waiting on you. We must know that God is not lost trying to find us. He is patiently standing at our door, waiting for us to let him in. Now, obviously, he could kick the door down if he wanted to, but that's not the way free will works. Every single day, we have a choice to follow him. We have a choice to ask for help. We have a chance at salvation. Luke 18, in the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now again, at this time, the tax collectors were evil people, but they were going to the temple to pray. He didn't sit at home complaining about how bad his life was. He went to church to take a closer look. Now the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get because, well, I am awesome. And that's how the self-righteous go. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He could not even look up to heaven. And he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Can't we all say that? God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And there is Jesus, right? Friend of sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all of them who humble themselves will be exalted. This shows Jesus' open arms for everyone that is lost, everyone that is strayed. If you have made a mistake in your life, it's not that far gone. Jesus is waiting for you. This is what amazing grace looks like. We once were lost, but can now be found. Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. Is that you? Is it? Look closer at your own life. Some of you here are not able to look up to the heavens because your sin prevents it. God, you carry a heavy load. And I know you are tired. I know you who are weary. Jesus Christ has came and is actively seeking you right here today. And he wants to save you. So let me ask you again. Are you willing to go out on that limb? Now, to go out on the limb is a big step. It requires you to leave your safety net, and it requires you to take a step of faith. But in that step, you are saying, God, here I am, willing and ready. God, it is all of me for all of you. And once you take that step, you'll never want to go back, I promise you. For those who have already taken that step to follow Christ, what is God asking you to step out on a limb for today? We as Christians are called to seek the lost, just as Jesus did. So who is God putting in your heart today? Is it the neighbor you keep wanting to talk to? Your friend you keep saying, I'm going to invite to church this time. Your coworker who just lost a loved one. Is it your mom? Is it your dad? You know, Father's Day is in 2 weeks. Is it a sibling? Is it a grandparent? What is the step that you need to take out onto the limb today? Now, Ryan talks every week here. Take the next step. What is your next step? Now, I wish I could tell you to go in prayer to God and just pray, God, give me this. And his answer would be yes. That's not it. Have you ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Jim Carrey gets the power of God for a week or so. And he has all the prayers sent to him through email to streamline his life. He downloads them all and takes all night to load them. And in the morning, he has 1,527,503 prayer requests. Now, later we find out that was just from the Buffalo area. But rather than going through them individually and just hitting the response, he just hits yes to all. Now, in the background of the next scenes, we hear that every sporting event that day ended in a tie. A lady actually lost 47 pounds on a Krispy Kreme diet, which I think we could all get behind that, right? And 1,100 people had the winning lottery ticket from that night. But that's not how it works. And that is why faith equals risk. Are you willing to listen to God as Zacchaeus did? God has everything planned out for you. He already planted the tree a long time ago. Step out onto the limb. Now, I want us to be able to humble ourselves before the Lord so that we can be exalted by God. If you guys need extra prayers when we finish up, there'll be people in the back more than willing to pray with you, or just listen. If you're one of those people and you know God is knocking at your door, He's here to set you free. Don't shut Him out. He is calling you by name. He knows your name. He knows your life. He knows your struggle. He is waiting for you right now. Step out on that limb and know that He is God. Know that He will save. For He has come to seek and to save the lost. And there's no difference of what your sin is, what you've done, or where you've been. They're all forgiven through Christ. He's not going to hold it over your head. He's not going to condemn you for a failure. He is there waiting for you. He's standing at the door. All we have to do is let Him in. Let us pray. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, know that we are here today letting You in, into our hearts, into our soul. All of me, God, for all of You. God, You know the truth. We can't lie to You. Please step in and lead us. Show us what You need us to do. God, if You have placed something at our door 50 times, let us open today with the 51st. Help us to know how much more we are than what we believe. Help us to see the people who love us and help us daily. The people who we don't even usually look at, God. Help us to look up. Up to the heavens as all the baggage, God, in our life falls to the ground. Set us free from our own created self. God, please be with the ones who feel alone. The ones who feel lost. Show us Your way. Show us Your truth. And show us Your light. So that we may be saved. Here I am, God. We love You and we thank You for the amazing grace that You give us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with Mike as we finish.
Here I am, God. I'm the chief of sinners. But tell me that I'm not. But who am I kidding? You already know the truth. So why would I lie to You? You don't need my pride. You don't need my excuses. With the blood of Jesus, the best of me is useless. And I'm qualified for heaven. But You said that I'm forgiven. Jesus, friend of sinners, Your heart's full of grace and love. Long before expecting a little disappointment and reject. I'm the chief of sinners, but hanging on a cross, it was finished. You qualified me for heaven when you said, Father, forgive them, Jesus.